Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags!
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. Level 3, shout out to Hog Wild. He was 0-5 tonight before he started tuning into the show, and he jumped in and he tailed us on San Jose State Spartans to come back and win the football game. It wasn't easy, was it? If you're joining us right now, that's the thing. We entertain you, and we also, we've been good. We've been good tonight with the in-game picks. If you tune in to Game Time Decisions tonight, right at the end of the show, we were at the half of the West Virginia-Pittsburgh game. And what were they at? There was 10-10 at the half. There were 20. And the total was 43.5, guys. 43.5. And I already had the over 50.5, right? If I didn't already have the over 50.5, I would have smashed it. So I was like, man, I already got the over 50.5. They're at 20 now. But I said on the air, I'm like, man, I haven't given up on the over 50.5 here, guys. There was 3 points scored in the first quarter and then 17 in the second. And it's the first quarter of the first game of the year. It's going to take them a couple of drives, man, to, like, get going. And where I'm going with this, I want to live in the past and pat myself on the back, but I will and pull a Barry Horowitz. So we hit the final score was 38-31. They got to 69. And the total dipped to 43.5. So we gave that on the air. We're like, you got to jump in on this, guys. Boom, 43.5. We just told you to jump in on the San Jose State Spartans. Look, you're getting a 22-point favorite at +2.5 with 9 minutes left. It was incredible, though. It took them three freaking times, man, inside like the 10-yard line to finish the job and actually do it. Three possessions. Like three different times. Like Portland State fumbled the ball. They threw an interception. They didn't. They got stopped on fourth down. Like it was way on third down. And then they punted. It was a big punt return. Like it was one thing after another. And San Jose State couldn't punch it in the end zone. But they finally did mercifully. Cordero ran it in. 21-17 final score. We hit that. And it was nice. We lose the Fresno in game that we put in. But it was nice. Full disclosure. I put $75 on the Fresno over. And I put $150 on San Jose State. So, hey, $75, we'll take it and move on, right? Take the money. Don't complain about it. Hey, here's $75. We'll spend this money in Vegas for you this weekend. It's Matthias's bachelor party. It's going to be a busy, busy day. I've got a bunch of people to meet Saturday for the contest stuff. I got to enter contests. I got to get my bets in. There's games going on. We'll hook up with Matthias and his boys later in the evening. I've got people to meet. It's going to be a wild weekend, and then we got the Rams and the Bills. Next Thursday, NFL. It's football. We got fantasy drafts. We're going to do fantasy football drafts on Labor Day on Monday. Figured it'd be a good day to do it since we're not going to be on. So we're not on Monday. So I figured that's a good day. We've done on Labor Day a few times. It's kind of sort of my tradition, actually. I like to do it late. I'm busy, and I'm like, all right, I'll do it late. And normally we have our fantasy football draft on a Monday night during that Monday night college football game. So it's cool. You know, you're watching the game, and you're doing the fantasy football draft. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. SiriusXM Channel 159 on Money or 1090 ESPN Radio on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates that are still with us or joining us. So the college football campaign has begun. Last week was like going to Applebee's, all right? It was TGIF. It was going for some apps. Now we're starting to get the main course. Not quite the main course, but You know, the entrees are starting to come now, and what entrees we got tonight, it was craziness, man. And if you don't think it was crazy, how about this? All right, there were two go-ahead pick sixes tonight in the fourth quarter, okay? Two go-ahead pick sixes in the fourth quarter tonight for Pittsburgh, MJ Devonshire, and for Purdue, Chris Jefferson. So you had two pick sixes in the fourth quarter tonight to put their teams ahead. To put in context, all season long last year, there were two. What happened tonight in two football games happened twice in every football game combined last year. That's how wild tonight was. Man, I don't know if Friday and Saturday is going to be able to live up to the hype, but why not, right? There's so many games. You know there's going to be some craziness across the board. So the backyard brawl was a beautiful setting tonight. No longer Heinz. Acushur, or what is it? Acushur? Whatever it is. Beautiful setting. They ran out of beer tonight. They ran out of beer at the stadium. But they drank so much in the backyard. Listen, what a shock that West Virginia and Pitt fans can drink, huh? Man, you got to load up when these two schools, and you know these kids are coming to town. You got Pitt, you got West Virginia, you better load up, man. Bring out the Clydesdales, get the Budweisers ready, because the kids are going to be ready to rock and roll, all right? Keaton Slovis, what a matchup tonight. But JT Daniels, nothing to hang his head about. Two former USC Trojan quarterbacks go head-to-head. Keaton Slovis, 308 passing yards tonight, were the most by a Pittsburgh Panther quarterback in a season opener since Matt Lytle threw for 349 in 1998 against Villanova. Welcome to Pittsburgh, Keaton Slovis. The Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Late Night Anger Management Class. All right, I don't know. Looks like the Indian Cowboy got corralled or something like tonight. You know, it's weird. The Indian Cowboy, he's been tweeting out that he's coming on, right? So it's bizarre. He was supposed to be on a little bit earlier with us, and I figured, I don't know, maybe he's confused about the time zones or something. We checked in with him, and We don't know. So we hope everything's all right, because he's come on the last couple of weeks. We haven't had any problems, but Indian Cowboy lost somewhere in cyber. And he's lost in a matrix somewhere in cyberspace. It's all good. We do have Frank Schwab coming up, though, from Yahoo Sports. I can tell you that, from Denver, Colorado. Frank's a great bettor. All right, so speaking of betting, actually, we've been in college football mode. I'll rattle off some more picks. We're going to be on tomorrow night from Las Vegas. Tony Finn will be kicking with us. It's not going to be like a wild Friday night from Sin City or anything like that. We'll be all business. We'll handle our business over the weekend. Right, there'll be time. There's a time for fun. There's a time for business, and there's a time to handle your business. So we're all business tomorrow. We'll be doing the game time decisions and Sports Rage, and then Saturday we got to get into the super contest again. We already have an entry as part of a collective. Now we're reuniting old school. So shout out to our old teammates here in Steel City, Steve, Vegas T-Bone. We're really spread out, man. I'll tell you that. Like, we got one dude in Boise, Idaho. We got another dude in Pittsburgh. We got another guy in Denver. And we got me, who's everywhere. So that's our team. And we got another team with me, Steve Merrill, Paul Bovey, Cam Stewart, and Dave Sharapan. So I'm part of two teams. And I'm thinking about doing my own team as well. But I might just say, you know what, I'm good with these two teams that I'm on. There's only so many games you can pick, right? And then what happens, I've done this before, where you have multiple entries and stuff. And I get it. Some people like it. But when you put multiple entries in, If you, you know what I mean, you start putting the same games on like two teams and stuff like that, it's a disaster if it doesn't go well. I've had it. Or then you start like sort of one team becomes more important than the other one. Like, you know, a lot of stuff happens like that when you have multiple teams, right? You're like, wow, these guys are idiots. It's not working. I'm, you know, this is the one that has a chance now. And oh, I'll take a chance on the other one. I'll just sort of, you know, take the underdog here, whatever. And, you know, there's it really is just a psychology to the, you could really write a book about that stuff. The contest psychology. We're going to get back to the college football, but little baseball talk here. And to be honest with you, I haven't been in baseball mode the last couple of days. I am in football mode. We've been doing a lot of shows and taping stuff, and it's been a really busy and crazy week for me. So I've been really football. But obviously, you know, we talk a lot of baseball on the program. So, you know, the Rookie of the Year in the National League, it was basically the only award that was still kind of up for grabs and not like, you know, crazy odds and a crazy price. And it was two teammates, Spencer Strider and Michael Harris Jr., that were competing for this. Well, I think the competition is all but over right now. In fact, I'm looking at FanDuel. All right, here we go. Here we go. I just had to keep scrolling. Yeah, so how about this? I remember because, listen, we had Jason B. Takafin on. He was with us just on Monday night, right? And what are we here? Thursday. So, yeah, he was with us on Monday night, former minor league executive here. We always talk about these player award futures. And I said, so listen, I said, this is the only one that's still competitive. You got Spencer Strider at minus 125 and Michael Harris at like plus 150 or whatever it was. And he said, I think Harris is still alive in this thing. Well, not anymore. Not after tonight. Spencer Strider struck out 16 Colorado Rocky batters in 8 scoreless innings tonight. Strider has 4 starts with at least 10 strikeouts and 1 or fewer runs allowed this season, the most by a rookie in a single season since Kerry Wood in 1998. Yeah, I think the Rookie of the Year conversation is over. Spencer Strider, congratulations. 16 Colorado Rocky struck out 16 batters tonight against the Rockies. It's amazing. Hey, 4 starts with at least 10 strikeouts and 1 or fewer runs allowed, most by a rookie in a single season since Kerry Wood had 4 in 1998. So now he just tied what Kerry Wood has done. Man, people don't talk about the Braves much going into the playoffs. Yeah, we talk about the Dodgers this, the Mets that, and congratulations to the Mets. That was an impressive week for them to beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3 like that. But I'm telling you, I brought it up the other night. My man, the Braves are dangerous, right? Like, people, it wasn't like a fluke World Series win last year. You know, the year before, they were up 3-1 on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Right? It's not, like I said, it's not a fluke, right? It's not like, oh, they got lucky or, you know what I mean? They're dangerous, and they know how to win in the playoffs. They have a good bullpen. They have a very good manager. They have smart players with high baseball IQ. They're a dangerous team. So let's just check in with the standing. It's been been a couple of days. Like I said, we've been in football mode here, and we'll get back to football as well. But I want to check in with the wild card standings right now. The American League wild card has been really interesting. So the Tampa Bay Rays, we don't expect the Rays to collapse. The Rays on a 3-game win streak, they've won 8 of their last 10 baseball games. They're 72-57, 15 games over 500. They are right there with Seattle. They're both kind of tied. Like they're 72-57 and Seattle's 73-58. Technically, Tampa have a better winning percentage by 1, 557 to 558. So Tampa Bay and Seattle are up 2 games right now on the Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays are the last wild card team to get in. And the way it works out, it would be 1 versus 3 here in the wild card. So Tampa would play Toronto, and then Seattle would play against Cleveland. Right, so okay, so Tampa Bay, Seattle, and Toronto. I tell you what, Baltimore are just not going away. Basically, listen, you've got Minnesota and Cleveland sort of flip-flopping in a division there. You know, you got to believe that only one of them are going to get in, though the team that wins the division. I tell you, though, it's amazing that Baltimore, you keep thinking, Baltimore, they're going to hit a wall a little bit. I've been betting a lot on Baltimore, and I've left money on the table this week because, I tell you, I bet on them earlier in the week, and I got caught up in football, and they've won the last two games. Baltimore, a game and a half back. I think it's an uphill battle for Baltimore because, they're good. I don't think they're quite as good as the Blue Jays and the Mariners and the Rays are right now, and it's hard to gain ground, but I tell you, what a super season and incredible run. Their win total was 62.5 this year. They're 69-61 right now. They've already gone over their win total. Checking in the National League right now. San Diego can sort of take a deeper breath after rolling the San Francisco Giants. San Diego handled their business. They needed this week. They did it. They really needed it. And look, the Atlanta Braves are locked in right now. The Braves might catch the Mets. And then you've got the Philadelphia Phillies, who I'll give credit to. I didn't think would be able to hang in here like this. And San Diego. All the negativity and criticism of San Diego, they are 7-3 in their last 10. They're on a three-game win streak. They're three games up right now in the wild card. I give them credit, actually. You know, I think there's a lot going on in that clubhouse. The Tatis stuff, you know, obviously caught everybody off guard after the Soto trade in the room. And, you know, you've seen tension in the dugout. They're under a lot of pressure. They don't know how to win the team, but they've got a bunch of dudes that are with egos, and some guys have won before, some guys haven't, and some guys are young, and it's a weird mix they have, but they've battled. I give them credit. They're just battling through and fighting through right now, and I think they're going to make the playoffs. All right, let's get back to that other sport. Football! Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thanks, Mo. Late Night Anchorman for Cross SS Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. We're kicking it here tonight. Looking forward to the weekend I've had of great college football. Man, what a night tonight, man. As I said, there were two pick six touchdowns tonight, go-ahead touchdowns, in the fourth quarter of tonight's games. Last year, there was two all year combined. That's all you need to know about how things have gotten started. So you can't tell me there's not going to be some insanity coming. I'm going to rattle off some college football picks. Obviously going to have more tomorrow. We'll have some more. Rob Vino's back in rotation. It's been a couple of weeks since Rob has been on. Look forward to Rob Vino. Okay, what is Tony Finn will join us tomorrow night as well. We'll be kicking it live in Las Vegas with Tony Finn. Although I don't think we'll be in the same room during the show tomorrow, but we'll hook up with Tony over the weekend at some point. I'm going to bet on Serena Williams. We're going to get back to the football. I'm going to bet on Serena Williams tomorrow. I'm seeing her. She's like minus 175 right now. At this point, guys, the bandwagon is only going to fill up, right? So if you like Serena, take her now. If you don't and you want to bet against her, wait, because I can't, it's overnight right now, so imagine the media hype. I've got on a couple of channels here and networks. I got streams. I got all kinds of stuff. And basically, it's just a constant cycle of baseball highlights, football highlights, Serena. You know what I mean? And then you go. Last night, I went from the sports. I was like, what's going on in the real world here? What's up? But I went over to the cable news. Serena, 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 Serena. It's the Serena show this week. Selling like 29,000 tickets a night when she's there, which is an all-time record there. So I am going to bet on Serena Williams. A shout out to our boy, Degenerate Dean. I'm not really in the mood for questions right now, but I like you, Dean. And Dean says, what about the UFC card? We'll hit the UFC card tomorrow night. But as far as the main event, he's asking about Tua. I like the Dolphins over 8.5. there's my Tua take. But all kidding aside, you asked me about Tua. Tuivasa, he means.
Tuivasa.
He means Tuivasa. Plus 400. Ciryl Gane is minus 550 in this fight. I find it interesting, Matias, that battle of heavyweights, battle of heavyweights like this, the over 1.5, normally, like, you know, you get a heavyweight fight, it's 1.5, and, you know, everybody expects, oh, it's not going to last long. Somebody's going to get knocked out. This one, man, 1.5 is minus 225. So if you want to bet the over, over 2.5 rounds is minus 120. And even fight to go the distance, yes, is plus 175. So in other words, the odds makers are telling us they would not be surprised. Like, they don't expect it to go the distance, but they're not going to be shocked if it does. Gon is known for being somewhat of a cautious fighter, but he is dangerous. And Tua is dangerous as well. What are you doing with the fight, Matias? How are you approaching it? I want to take the over 2.5.
Gabe, that's what I'd like to take, is the over 2.5. Like you said, Gon is the type of fighter who's not going to get in danger. He's going to fight his fight. He doesn't care what's going to happen. He's not going to get emotional being in France with the French crowd. He's just going to look to get this victory because he's one victory away, possibly, for fighting for that belt again. You know, he can't risk it for a biscuit getting knocked out by Tuivasa. You know, that plays right into his hands. The only way Tuivasa wins this fight is if Gon makes the mistake to actually brawl with him, which I don't think.
He doesn't make a lot of mistakes, Gon. He's actually a smart fighter. Yeah, for a heavyweight, he's frustratingly smart. Like, people want him to be this and that, but he's not an idiot. He's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I think Gon could finish him off as the fight goes. Like, if Gon sees, all right, I'm really softening him up and I'm beating him up, and, like, you know, Tua's got a, you know, swollen eye and stuff like that, he might raise the aggression in the third or fourth round, in the fourth round type thing, but I don't think he does anything stupid early either. And, you know, the odds makers agreement is that they're making us lay minus 225 if we want to go over 1.5. That's too pricey. So I'll roll the dice and I'll say that I think Gon wins the fight, though. I don't think he's going to lose. So Degenerate Dean was asking if he thought it'd take Tua by KO. I don't think, if you want to take the value or whatever, you want to have fun with it, but I don't think he's going to win. Gon's good, bro. And Gon's a smart fighter. So, like Matias said, he's not going to do anything stupid and reckless early. And he'll win the fight. And he might win the fight in boring fashion, actually, even. I'll put Gon in parlays, and I'll go over 2.5, Matias.
Gabe, like you said, also, you know, Gon can't finish his fight. And it wouldn't be the first time that Tuivasa's been finished. And every single time that he's been finished, he's gone to the ground. And, you know, his opponent has got top position. Look at Sergey Spivak. He submitted Tuivasa once he got him to the ground. Junior Dos Santos wore him out in his own country.
Yeah, but Gon won't go to the ground. Won't want to go to the ground.
Yeah, if Gon wants to take, I don't think so either, but if he wants to finish this fight and kind of tell Dana White, give me that title shot right now, forget everybody else.
Remember the irony, Matias. No one thought that Ngannou would go to the ground game like he did, right? It was like, you know what? I took you down once. I like this. This is going, I'm not going my way, so I'm gonna go back to this. Yeah, they're in France, too. They're going to Paris, so it's going to be a pretty lit atmosphere there. But I agree with Matias that Gon is not... Trust me, I know French people. Like, Frenchmen, they're pretty cerebral, right? Like, he's not going to be rah-rah. They're different than Americans. Like, he's not going to come out, F yeah, man, yeah, let's go, USA. Like, he's not going to come out, Vive France and stuff. He's going to be calm. He knows. French people are critical. So, you know, it's like the French soccer. Just win, right? Like, if he wins, they're going to be happy, Matias. Doesn't matter how, right? They just want him to win. And he knows this, too. He's not going to get crazy and try to put on a show for them.
No, I'm with you, Gabe. I'm still looking forward to watching it. And, you know, Bam Bam Tuivasa has proved everybody wrong multiple times in his last four fights. You know, the guy is definitely
anything can happen in a heavyweight.
UFC.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
He lands and he makes you go to sleep. And, you know, this is a heavyweight division. It just takes one, you know, for them to go down. But, Gabe, you know,
hey, Whitaker and Vettori is a good fight. Yeah, that one's good.
It is. Adesanya kind of let the cat out of the bag today and told everybody, I'm not even looking forward to this fight because he already knows who's going to win. And I'm like, okay, who's he gonna think? And he says
he's
Robert
Whittaker's
gonna win this fight with ease. Oh yeah, he thinks it's the easiest.
He's
fight
like, I know I can't fight Whittaker. I hear Whittaker's gonna change weights. I don't think Whittaker wants Adesanya again. Like, I think Whittaker, I've heard about Whittaker like changing, like Whittaker, if you're Whittaker, all right, you do it again, you're gonna lose again. You will. Like, you just will, bro. He'll beat Vettori.
That division's kind of weird right now, but you know what? Pereira, you know, that's kind of what we're waiting for, right? Pereira and Adesanya. You know, the guy.
Yeah, that guy. He's beaten up twice. Like, he could beat Adesanya. Game. He's beating the points.
That guy's
that's
huge,
a good
and that's
fight.
The light heavyweight
I'm looking for
game.
That one, yeah.
You should see some of the pictures that these training partners are putting up. We're talking about light heavyweights that train with this guy, and Pereira looks bigger than them, and he's a middleweight. It looks like he's a heavyweight when he trains, Gabe.
Yeah. If Adesanya better... Listen, I'm not going to tell Israel Adesanya what to do. The guy's amazing. But... if I was suggesting anything, I would tell him, dude, you're going to need to put on a little weight for this fight, right? Like, we're going to hit the gym a little bit. Like, he's a big dude, like you said. He knows him. You know, he's fought him twice, right? Once it was a decision, Adesanya thinks he got screwed. Another time he got knocked out, and he owns it, right? It was in kickboxing, though. So it's a different sport. Yeah, so we'll get back to the UFC. We got an interesting card. I can't believe, actually, when I look at this, Number one thing, does this Hacker Prescott fight on every damn card? Seems to me like he's always fighting. But
hey, there's some great value there, Gabe. John McDessey from Canada, your boy over there, man. I think McDessey could get this fight. I think he'd win this fight.
He's
Gabe.
Older than I am, McDessey.
Yeah, he's a good fighter, though, man. His last fight was really impressive. I think his striking has grown leaps and bounds from where it was four years ago. And Hak Paras is hittable, Gabe. He's not as good as everybody thinks he is. This is a good fight for McDessey. I think he's going to have the crowd behind his back. And your boy, Gabe, Charles Jardin. How do you say it, Gabe? Because you nailed that name. Charles is fighting on this fight, Gabe.
Jardin.
Badass fight. Jardin.
Charles Jardin.
Yeah.
Charles Jourdain.
Man, what a fight. That's going to be fight of the night, Gabe. Fight of the night right there. Nathaniel Wood and Charles right there.
Oh, yeah. You know what, actually? So you're right.
Minus 150 on some books, Gabe. There's a lot of great value right there. I think that's going to climb for Charles.
He won't get screwed over. I nearly just dropped an F-bomb. I swear to God. I came this close and he won't get it. I got a flashback with this. I'm like, oh my God, this is the first fight since he got screwed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got, and I just had a flashback against Shane Burgos in Long Island, New York. They screwed the Quebecer. The guy's from Montreal, and he goes, I'm not afraid to go to New York and fight a New Yorker. And he went and he beat the crap out of Burgos, I thought. And he lit him up, and he got screwed over. And then Burgos leaves the company anyways.
He ran to the PFL.
Yeah. Dana White, you saw Dana White. Dana White doesn't often do it. And thanks to Jerner Dean for one UFC question. Now the whole damn segment turned into UFC. But Dana White doesn't often admit mistakes. And I like what Dana said. Again, people criticize Dana, but Dana is often right. And Dana said, he goes, I got to be honest with you. He goes, we don't F up often here. He goes, when we let a fighter go and stuff, he goes, there's a reason. And then he point blank said, we screwed up with Shane Burgos. Because they said, why is Shane Burgos with the PFL now? Why didn't he resign? And Dana basically said, I effed up. He said, you know, he let other people handle it. He didn't realize it was imploding. And next thing you know, Burgos signed with the PFL. Dana point blank said openly, and he never says that. He goes, I wish the kid the best. I wish he was still in the UFC, and hopefully he comes back. Right? He said, we effed up. If I would have known, I would have kept him, like, basically. Like, said it fell through the cracks. Right? Well, with all that being stated, Burgos, you lost that fight to Jourdain, okay? And they won't screw Jourdain in France because he's French.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Continues as this countdown to kickoff. We are now less than 1 week away from the start of the National Football League regular season. College football has begun. Let's get Schwab. Frank Schwab steps up and in Yahoo Sports to throw it down with us. Frank, it's always a pleasure, my man. Happy football season. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
It really is getting close, isn't it? We're pretty much, well, 1 week from now, we're going to be watching Bills-Rams. I can't wait. And obviously, college this weekend, it's here. It's finally here.
Yeah, we're so close that I'm going to ask you about a couple of week one games and which way you're leaning. And in fact, what about the Bills and the Rams? What a season opener that we have. I do believe that the Buffalo Bills are going to win this football game. Do you have an early lean or impression on the season opener?
I understand the Bills love, I do, but I think it's gone too far, where if you're giving me the Rams at home the night they raise the banner, if I can get three, I'm going to take it. I've only seen 2.5. I've not seen a 3 yet, but I've been searching. I'll probably find one before kickoff because everybody in the world seems to be on the Bills. But look, Rams plus 3 just seems to be value to me. I don't have questions about Matthew Stafford available right now. I mean, maybe he just won't look the same, and that's fine, but I think the Rams are shut him down by now if there was real concern. And the Rams are healthy. They're a good team. They're well coached. At 3 points at home, it just seems like too much to me. I'm going to be on them.
I don't want to date myself, Frank, but I remember like 25, 30 years ago, it used to be like basically an automatic fade. It was like, yeah, you want to bet against the team that won the Super Bowl because they're going to be overpriced in the first game of the year next year. And it used to be like a money-making thing. But we've seen guys over the last 20 years or whatever it's been since they've had this Thursday nighter, the Super Bowl champion and the home team has been pretty dominant. But the Buffalo Bills, it really is amazing, isn't it? Look, it's crazy, man. 10 home dogs in week one, Frank, the most since 1978.
It's shocking to me when, you know, I didn't realize it. Like, I mean, you know, the blinds have been out for months and months. The first time it didn't really click to me. And then like a week later, you're like, man, there's a nice home dog. And you're just like, wow, how many home dogs are there? It's kind of crazy, especially for week one, when the truth is we don't know anything. Like, we think we know, but we'll find out a lot more. I think, let's put it this way. I'm not going to be on every home dog, but I do believe if you just blindly bet every single home dog, I think you'd do just fine this in week one.
It's funny. We're all operating on perception, our own perception and narrative of what the team is going to be. The other one, which has just been an absolute killer, bro, has been the Monday night home dog in week one. Bad teams. I remember a couple of years ago, San Francisco with Tom Sula. Yep. I think they won like 2 games. One of the games they beat was a very good Minnesota Viking team. Like, they beat them on the season opener. I mean, the Vikings won like 12, 13 games that year still. We're very good. We see this in the past, so sort of leads me into, and you are in Denver. Is this a trap at all? Because Geno Smith is good against the spread in his career. He's actually like 19-13-1 ATS in his career. Is it a trap that Monday nighter, big game with Russell Wilson going back to the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, and this line keeps going up and up, too. I did grab Denver earlier this offseason. I think I got them less than 4. Maybe at 4. I can't remember the exact number. I got it. I have to look it up. But it just keeps going up and up to the point of, it looks too heavy to me. I think Russ is going to be, you know, not out for revenge, but, you know, he wants to show that his old team made a mistake. I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be ready. But he also hasn't played any preseason snaps. I agree with that. I don't think a starter should play in the preseason, but you're going to see some teams that don't do that be pretty rusty week one, like the Packers were last year against the Saints. And that could happen to Denver out of the chute. And everybody's down on Seattle, and this line is just going to keep going up and up and up. I mean, by kickoff, you're probably, wouldn't even surprise me if you get more than 7. I mean, hey, who's betting on Seattle right now, which is the perfect spot to bet Seattle? Like, just like you kind of alluded to, where there's just going to be some weird, you know, outcomes in week one. Seattle's going to be fired up. It's a Monday night. It's their opener. They don't know they're supposed to be bad. Like, every one of us thinks they're going to be bad. So, yeah, when that line keeps going up and up and up, it might be a good opportunity to take the Seahawks as kind of an ugly dog at home.
Frank Schwab with us from Yahoo Sports. And, Frank, I saw you writing about the Coach of the Year odds, and I'm with you in the sense that I've never really cared or paid attention to Coach of the Year, because a lot like MVP in the NBA, the Coach of the Year in the NFL, like, it's like, well, what is it, the coach with the best record? No. Is it the, you know, if you're a great coach and you've been around forever, you can go undefeated and they wouldn't give you the Coach of the Year. So it's sort of this, well, like Staley's the favorite, guys, and Brian Daboll is right at the top of the board. So it's sort of the narrative that it's the new guy, or it doesn't have to be a new guy or a guy that's turning a team around, per se. But despite its stupidity, it does present value, doesn't it? It's basically like a NASCAR race or a horse race, Frank, in the sense that, man, you're getting double-digit odds with whoever you take, and that's what I do find attractive about it, that you really could take 2, 3, 4 coaches if you wanted, 16-1, 20-1, 25-1, etc. Yeah. You don't want to get carried away, but there is opportunities to make money in that market, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And we know the formula, and it's always, well, we had these preseason expectations. This team beat preseason expectations by a ton. So it can't be that we were wrong. It had to be that this guy was Vince Lombardi.
That's what we do.
Nobody wants to admit, maybe we were just wrong. Like, I think these voters fall into this trap all the time of this ego of thinking, well, I thought the, 2018, whenever year it was, 2018 Chicago Bears are going to be terrible. They were good, so Matt Nagy must be awesome as a coach. No, not really. And the funniest thing is this is across sports. It's always like this. Go look at ACC Basketball Coach of the Year. Mike Krzyzewski didn't win for like his last 21 years as ACC basketball coach. And some of the guys.
How many times did Phil Jackson win Coach of the Year?
Right, yes. Exactly. Bill Belichick's won like 3 times, I think, which is pretty good, but still, he's been the best coach in the NFL for 20 years running now. So it's a weird award, but if you can predict a breakout team or a team that does really, really well, and that's kind of where I'm leaning, but if you can predict that breakout team, and a lot of people like Kevin O'Connell because they think the Vikings are going to be good or something like that, okay, that's fine. The way I go is Sean McDermott, because I do, in the back of my mind, even though I just said the Rams plus 3 has value, I really do think this Bills team might be like 15-2. Like, I mean, they're so good. The division's not tough. They do have a tough first place schedule, but I could see this Bills team being like 15-14 wins, easily winning number one seed in the AFC. And then Sean McDermott's going to get a look. I mean, if you're a team that good, you're going to be in the race. And all I can ask for with a 25-1 shot, or I got him at 30 actually a little bit earlier, at 30, 25-1 shot, all I can ask for is a chance. And I think if Sean McDermott and the Bills have that kind of season, where they're just awesome all year and win the AFC by 2-3 games, I think he's going to get some mention. And hey, he's got a shot to win the award.
As a lifelong Buffalo Bill fan, I like where you're going with that. And you know what? I think the media want to anoint the Bills, right? They've already anointed them the champs already. Yeah. The media's anointed Josh, the same people that criticized him coming out of Wyoming before. Really like your pick here. Nobody's talked about McDermott, and it's a great point. And you know why I like this too, Frank? I don't know if you want to get in on this bet, but a bet I did put in, I took the Bills to have the best regular season record at plus 450 in the NFL. Because exactly what you said, bro, they blew the lead last year. They're going to have that. We're not blowing another lead. I think they're just going to go balls to the wall, go for the jugular all year. Will it work out? Will they run out of gas? I don't know. Time will tell. But I like that. I'd rather get that than plus 600, plus 650 to win the Super Bowl and just worry about having the best record, because I think they really will be pedal to the metal. Love where you're going with that with McDermott. And you know what? You read my mind, Frank, because I'm one of the marks out there that likes O'Connell. So my guys,
perfectly reasonable.
McDaniel, Miami, because I'm very high on him. I think they're going to win double-digit games. I think he's going to be innovative, and I think they're going to be flashy, and I think the media likes him because he's a football hipster. So I got McDaniel at 20-1. I think O'Connell is very interesting. And another guy, Nick Sirianni. Everyone thinks the Eagles are about to bust out. I think the media likes him, and I think he could do a good job with this team, but I love your McDermott pick. What are your thoughts, and who else besides McDermott are you looking at?
Yeah, pretty much the same guys you mentioned. I mean, if you like a breakout team, then you should be looking at Coach of the Year, because if they end up winning 9-10 games when, their over-under is 6.5 or whatever, they're going to have a shot. Doug Peterson comes to mind. I like the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars are going to be feisty this year. I don't know they're going to be in the playoffs in a really tough AFC, but he's going to be so much better than the other guy was last year that people are going to say, wow, the Jaguars 9-8, they really compete. Doug Peterson did a great job, whereas really the bar was just impossibly low because of Urban Meyer. Guys like that, it's such a hard award to predict, but like we've been talking about, I mean, if you find the right guy, you could win a pretty big ticket. Everybody's at least 10-1. Dan Campbell's a favorite at 10-1. And just to piggyback on the Bills thing real quick, one thing about the Bills is, it looked like a little bit of a disappointing season last year, because I think it was 12-5, 11-6, whatever they were. I believe they were 0-5 in one-score games, which is just ridiculous. That's not going to happen again. If that pendulum swings back, they're going to improve upon their win total by a lot. And also, I think that it's in the back of their mind, hey, we lost at Arrowhead Stadium the past 2 years. Let's, like you said, pedal to the metal all year. They're going to be saying to themselves, let's make sure that game ain't in Arrowhead this year. Let's make sure it's in Buffalo where we have home field advantage. So I do think they're going to be just, foot on the gas all season long.
I'm having a flashback right now of them losing on the Monday Nighter last year when Josh Allen slipped and fell on the fourth and goal from like the one, right? Like stuff like that did happen to them. I think they believe their own hype a little bit last year because they were heavily hyped last year. And I think that they bought into it a little bit. Look, they lost the season opener to Pittsburgh, man. They blew the 10-0 lead after the half. So I think they're the lesson learned. And as you stated, they know. How has our season ended the last 2 years, guys? At Arrowhead, we're not going back there, right? Like, you know what I mean? We're not going back there. So I think that's the benchmark. So we got about 2 minutes here, and I enjoyed the column over at Yahoo Sports, you and your colleagues going over the wide receiver props. And I like what you wrote. You don't, you know, there's money to be made not just with superstar players and not just on the overs. And you're looking at Mike Gesicki of the Miami Dolphins going under 574.5 yards. Tell us why.
Yeah, and I just think he doesn't have any spot in that offense. I really don't. He does not fit the Shanahan scheme. You look at Mike Gesicki the past few years, and it's been, you know, he's been in that 700 range. I think it was like 790 last year, but it's a different offense. And also, Tyreek Hill's there. He's going to suck up 120, 130 targets off the bus. Mike Gesicki's not going to get...
Between him and Waddle, that's 200 balls right there.
I know, yeah, easily at least. And it's not like they're going to even be a high-volume passing offense with McDaniel, who wants to run the ball. He's from the Shanahan tree, so I just can't get there with the math with Gesicki. I play in fantasy leagues. I haven't drafted Mike Gesicki once, and every time somebody else drafts him, I'm like, thank goodness, because I didn't want any part of him. So yeah, last year, my two biggest hits were you found, and you don't find these books very often about really guys down the radar, but Denzel Mims and Breshad Perryman unders. I mean, the cash tickets, I'm not
that
trying to be
slick.
A hero here.
That was slick, bro.
and you know, Mike Gesicki just strikes me as one of those guys, too, where I don't think people have realized that the trade rumors, there's a reason. They don't really like this guy in their offense. He doesn't fit. He's not a blocker whatsoever. He's really just a big slot, and they don't need that anymore with Hill and Waddle there. So, yeah, I think Gesicki under is my favorite play for as far as receiving props go.
We'll get you out of here. I'll share another tight end that I do like to go over, and that's Zach Ertz. I like his over receiving yards, and I like his over receptions. No DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games. Dude, Ertz has gone over the number that they posted in 8 of his 9 years in the NFL. The only one he didn't was his rookie year. Yeah, dig in a little bit. I'll send you, I'll post it and stuff. Dig in. But yeah, take a look at Zach Ertz's history and what his numbers are compared to now. And I think you'll agree with me. Man, we could talk football all night. Always love breaking it down with you, Frank. Get Schwab with Frank over at Yahoo Sports. Frank Schwab, always a pleasure, my man.
Appreciate it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class, quickest 108 minutes in sports talk radio. You know, we haven't forgotten about the CFL. We've been caught up. We cover all the leagues. Haven't forgotten about the CFL, Red Blacks and Alouettes on Friday night. Tune in to Game Time Decisions tomorrow at 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific. We'll have a bunch of picks, including college football and heading into the weekend. So, listen, tomorrow night is a tricky card. It's not like, you know what I mean, tonight was better. Tonight was like, whoa, that was wild stuff. Friday's card is a little tricky. TCU in Colorado, one of the bigger games, up to 13.5. Not a ton of value there. I'm intrigued by Virginia Tech and Old Dominion. The total 47.5 feels light to me. Illinois and Indiana is a slugfest. The real, and then the action Saturday. I'll tell you what, the games that really catch my eye here so far on Saturday. East Carolina and NC State. Come on, man. The total's 51.5 in this game? Too light. Too low. Too low. It's going over the number. We love, I'm buying in. Nobody's talking. You know, never notice I bring up, UCLA are going to be good, and we get stone cold silence from everybody. Like, I don't know if they're not paying attention. They don't care, whatever. All right, fine. Fine. UCLA are going to mess Bowling Green up, man. They're going to mess them up. Look what happened to Ball State tonight. Ball State went into Tennessee. They what did they lose? There was 59-10. It's going to be a similar situation here. UCLA is going to roll them, and the game's going to go over the number. I like that game. Houston. Houston's going to beat UTSA. 4.5 is also too late. SDSU, San Diego State, now down to 5.5. You always hear, well, I don't like trusting SDSU. I know. They're only one of the best teams against the spread every damn year. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.